The following programming is sponsored by Pete Trabuco. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group.
And welcome to another edition of Live on Tape with Pete Trabuco on WWDB AM 860, Talk Radio 860, Philadelphia, a Peasley Media Group station. Hello, everybody. Happy Saturday afternoon from the studios here in Philadelphia, and we really appreciate you being here today. Beautiful Saturday, and I guess we got about maybe less than 2 weeks until Thanksgiving comes rolling around, so there's a lot going on, and I don't know about you, but I'm starting my Christmas shopping already. I know we don't want to talk about that, but I am definitely doing that at this point. And I've got, of course, my trusty producer, Tyler Conklin, here, and Tyler is in the studio as well. So, Tyler, how are you today, sir?
Hey, Pete, doing well. Honestly, I'm running around crazier than a greased-up turkey running around the Mall of America.
Yes, this is true. And well, not too greased up. I mean, we're going to baste it, but we're not going to overdo it there. But, so you're running around like crazy. You're on all the radio stations. In fact, while we're doing this show, I think you're involved with a couple of others in that studio. So I won't ask you too many questions because I know you're running around. But thank you for doing it last minute. Unfortunately, I need to actually I'm in a production, so I need to be actually in the theater in order to do a rehearsal that I can't be in the studio. So thank you for doing it in studio today. Now, Tyler, have you bought any Christmas gifts for the? I know we're not even in Thanksgiving yet, but 10% of the nation finishes up their Christmas shopping even before Thanksgiving. Have you started? I know I've started a little, but have you started?
I've started, but only because I know what I always get at least two of my gift recipients every year. I get them these tickets to the XCU live summer event shows or whatever, and it's a full season pass for all the shows over at the Freedom Mortgage Center.
Oh, okay, good. Now, what I do, I have the scientific approach when I do this stuff. And, of course, Thanksgiving, Macy's Day Parade, you know, you got the dog show in Philadelphia, which we always watch. What I do is I go to one aisle, and I just throw stuff into my cart. I just avalanche things into my cart, okay? Then I go over to the clothing section, and I do the same thing there. And then I go over to the music section, and I'll throw stuff in there. And then when I'm done, I'll figure out what I got and then say, oh, that would be good for so-and-so. Oh, that's good for so-and-so. Oh, that's good for so-and-so. And so on down the line. And whatever's left ends up going to Toys for Tots. But that's how I do my Christmas shopping before Thanksgiving. So I think you have a better plan on how to go about doing that than I do. I don't know about that.
Unfortunately, I always have to make up at least seven gifts on the fly, like 2 days before Christmas. I try not to, but it's going to happen every single year in perpetuity.
So what are you doing this Thanksgiving? Where are you going? Are you going anywhere special and flying or just, by the way, it's one of that Thanksgiving week, basically starting on, like, I think it's Monday or Tuesday, is one of the busiest when it comes to airfare to try to get to locations and everything. So. Are you staying home or are you traveling?
I'll probably be staying home, going out to see friends, enjoying the holiday and whatnot. Several parties to attend are always a big thing. But yeah, I understand about those crazy flight things or whatever with Cyber Monday and whatnot, literally like breathing down the neck of society.
No, it's true. In fact, it's crazy. I mean, other than I think Thanksgiving is the most traveled day, or that week is the most traveled, even more than Christmas or New Year's. So it really is number one on the runway when it actually comes to that. So looking forward to that. But I'm looking forward to this too. We've had this gentleman on before. He's an amazing actor. He's done a whole bunch of stuff. You might have noticed him on cable, television, radio, movies, basically. He is everywhere. We have a gentleman by the name of Danny Daugherty. And just to give you some of his credits in the past, okay? Now, I love the show, The Marvelous Miss Maisel. He was actually on that show And I watched them, and I was incredible. FBI with the Black Caesar, you got Crash of the System, Invasion, New Amsterdam, The Equalizer, FBI Most Wanted, The Plot Against America. And we had, of course, Urone in the studio, and Urone was actually in that as well. Ray Donovan, The Deuce, I like that. That was a great show too as well. Blue Bloods, and that's one of my favorite shows, and my wife loves Blue Bloods. So he was on that as well. The Defenders, Backfire, Veep, of course. Love that show as well. I can keep going. Oh, Orange is the New Black also. On that Law and Order, Special Victims. Like I said, I can go all day. But he's actually been in all that stuff. And he continues. And Danny, we're so happy to have you on the show today. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem. You've been a busy person, and I just did the intro on all the programs that you have been on. It seems like every time I turn on the television and turn on some of my favorite shows, you happen to show up. You happen to be there. So, well, what do you attribute all this good luck to? I'm telling you, you're everywhere on cable television, movies, and so on.
God and a lot of hard work. A lot of sacrifice. Believe me, it didn't come overnight. It was years and years in the making of just beating the bushes. And I'm very grateful about it, believe me.
You're probably one of the hard... I mean, I've had a lot of actors on here. I just had
post all the time.
And the thing is, they're hard acting workers as well. But it seems like you even go a little bit above and beyond of what the what these actors, other actors that I've interviewed do, you seem to be getting out there in pretty much everything. And I guess my question is, when did you start? Because obviously I'm looking at your resume and all these shows you've been in. When did the acting bug hit you?
Oh boy, that goes all the way. Well, you see, it goes all the way back to my childhood. Just like my favorite all time television show is Columbo since I was a kid. And it always goes back to when I was a kid. Actually, Kathy Moriarty from Raging Bull, she played Robert De Niro's wife. She was actually a family friend. She used to babysit me when I was a kid. So I kind of knew about acting, but you know, where I come from, it was really not like a thing that you would take seriously. I always wanted to do it, but I'll tell you that the moment that I said that I'm going to really start taking this serious was, and I'll tell you exactly, I remember the exact day. My father was sick. He passed away. This was in the midst of his illness. My girlfriend at the time took me to cheer me up to a movie. She took me to see Forrest Gump. And I remember I walked out of the movie and I looked at her and I said, I got to be an actor. So that's when it started. That was in 94. And then, you know, trials and tribulations. But I didn't start like really getting into it till probably around 2001. I started, you know, the process of trying to get my foot in the door, so to say, you know. And I've been doing it ever since then.
Wow. So Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
So Forrest Gump actually started the career for you.
It did.
You've been actively working. Mind,
but seeing that movie, I don't know what it was. I just came out of it. And I could picture it in my head to this day. I just looked at it and I said, I'm going to be an actor. I got to do this. You know, that's how much that movie just awoken something in me. It's like, I got to do this, you know? And here we are today, 30 years later.
Wow, and you're still going strong. Like I said, I was reading all the TV shows, and I gotta be honest with you, I only went about halfway for all the shows that we were talking about. It seems like you've been on some fantastic shows, including one of my favorite, obviously Blue Bloods, and the marvelous Miss Maisel, which basically was great shows as well.
Oh, great experience.
Obviously. It's important to know how you started doing this. You got into it. And did you start out full time in acting, or did you just do it on the side until you were able to actually, you know, continually perform and get to the next level? How did that work out? I mean, most actors and actresses are waiters and waitresses or doing something like that prior. How about you?
I'll tell you exactly. I was working in construction at the time, and I started to do acting classes at night in night school. I took a couple of classes, you know, nothing too serious, just to see what it was all about. And my acting teacher was moonlighting as a night school teacher in one of the colleges, Purchase College, but she was actually a teacher at Lee Strasberg, and she pulled me to the side and she's like, "If you really take this seriously, you got what it takes." She's like, "I've been doing this for 30 years." She's like, "I know what an actor is." She's like, "You have it." And she's like, "If you really pursue this, you will find success." So I just started doing extra work. And, you know, I formulated my own plan and I learned as I went, okay, now I need to get my SAG card. So I did extra work to earn my SAG card. And then I said, okay, I need a reel to get an agent. So I started doing short films. I did theater down in New York City, anything I could do to meet people, to get, you know, the things that I needed to proceed. So I do short films, I do indie films, I put together a reel, then I got an agent, and then literally a month later, this was in, I think, in 2012, of getting my first serious agent, I went on my first reel audition for Boardwalk Empire, and I booked it. And then it's just been a snowball since then.
Oh, absolutely. I see Gotham's on the list. Yeah. I see Life on Mars is on the list. So yeah, those are probably the first ones that you did.
Yeah, those were the first ones. Yeah. Those were back 10 years ago or more. Yeah.
And yeah. That must have been a thrill. I mean, the people that you have worked with, they must have been incredible.
It was the most incredible thing. And like I said, a kid, you know, I loved TV and films and all these guys. You know, like when I did Ray Donovan, for instance, I had a big scene with John Voight. And John Voight, I even told him when I was with him, I was like, "John, do you know you wrecked me? Remember that movie he did with the boxer? It was called The Champ with Ricky Schroeder when he died at the end? That that destroyed me for like a week."
Yeah.
And I told him that, and then I said, and then I'm sitting here eating lunch with him, and we're actually friends. We talk, you know. So it, that's the greatest thing to me, is, you know, I worked with Al Pacino. I did scenes with him. I mean, it's incredible, and I get like a moment of clarity, like waiting for, you know, when it's setting and the director's saying okay and places and whatever, and I get that 1 second. I'm like, holy God, I'm sitting here with Al Pacino. How does that happen? You know, it's incredible.
So my final question before the break is, obviously, you know, you've seen a lot of people. Did you ever get starstruck where you just basically like lost it on screen?
I wouldn't say starstruck in terms of, you know, like, oh my God. But like I said, just that, like, I can't believe that I'm here with this person that, you know, like one of my favorite movies is Serpico. You know what I mean? And I said, when I first met him, he goes, "Hey, I'm Al." I said, "Oh yeah, I've seen you in a few things." He goes, "Oh yeah, yeah, stop breaking my balls." And he goes, I said, "Yeah, I go, Al, you know, Scarface, all that, Serpico. That's the one, buddy." You know, so in terms of starstruck, to me that was incredible.
Not a problem, I tell you. We'll talk more. We do have a break, so we'll be back with Live on Tape right after these messages.
Each year 5,000 people, including children, choke to death. LifeVac can stop these senseless tragedies, and it's so easy to use as well. Simply place the mask over the face and push and pull. You'll never regret having a LifeVac in your home or office. Please visit their website at www.lifevac.net today to protect you and your loved ones. Or you can call them at 877-LIFEVAC. That's 877-LIFEVAC.
Black men are the most likely Americans to die from lung cancer. and black people develop the disease earlier in life than others. Federal guidelines have nearly doubled the number of black Americans eligible for lung cancer screening. Insurance companies are required to cover these tests for those ages 50 to 80 who smoke or used to smoke. If that's you, talk to a doctor about lung cancer screening. For more information and to find a screening center near you, visit acr.org/mylcs. That's acr.org/mylcs.
And welcome back to Live on Tape with Pete DeGiunto on WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, and a beautiful Saturday afternoon. But before I get back to my guest, I want to introduce you to World Star Public Relations, where excellence meets exposure. Now, are you ready to elevate that brand to new heights? That's your brand. Well, their team of dynamic public relations experts is here to make your story shine bright on the global stage. Now, that's whether you're a startup, an established artist, business, or a rising star. They specialize in crafting narratives that captivate and campaigns that really, really do resonate. World Star PR, your passport to the world of unparalleled visibility and success. So join the ranks of those who already have made the headlines. Choose World Star Public Relations and let your story take center stage. That's World Star, number is 631, and that is 506-6600, 631-506-6600. And we got one heck of a guest here today. I'm having a great day here, Danny, on the show today. Actor Danny Daugherty, and you might have seen him in so many different productions and shows that are out there. Just a few off the back: The Marvelous Miss Maisel, Boardwalk Empire, Blue Bloods. Obviously, I could just go on and on about all the things he's done. Works with people like Al Pacino, and I believe also, you did a whole bunch of stuff in theater as well. So, yeah, again, we started to talk about Starstruck before. Let's talk about what it's like, to be in the room with people like Al Pacino, and I know you were kidding around with him and everything, but
do they ever give you
any advice?
They always say the same thing. Bill Duke, for instance, you know, Bill Duke is, he was in Predator. He played the bald guy. Remember? I did Law and Order with him, and I remember we were, he's a big advocate for actors. So I remember we were in the van going back to, I think, base camp from set. And we were just talking, and he just said, "Hey guys," he's like, the way to make it, he's like, "You just keep going." He's like, "Just persistence." He's like, like when you're in the batter's box, if you get hit by the ball, you just dust yourself off and you get right back in and you take another swing, you know? So, yeah, I mean, my conversations with John Voight, the same thing. He's like, "You're very talented. You just got to keep at it, keep at it." And he's like, "Things will start happening." So, a kid from me from Yonkers, I get that moment of clarity. Like, obviously I'm there to do a job, but I'm a human being, and that moment breaks, and I get that 1 second. I say to myself, "Holy crap, that's John Voight. Or, holy crap, that's Queen Latifah." I mean, these are people you grew up watching.
Yeah.
And then I got to snap out of it. Okay, I got something to do here. You know what I mean? But yeah.
Well, I tell you, that takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of effort to do that. For those just joining, we are talking with actor Danny Daugherty. You might remember him from episodes like The Equalizer, The Marvelous Miss Maisel, FBI. You've got Crash of the System, Invasion, New Amsterdam. Yeah. FBI Most Wanted, and the plot against America, and of course, one of my favorites, obviously, is Blue Bloods and Ray Donovan, The Deuce, and I can just keep going on and on about all the things that you have been in. We've been talking about what it's like to actually be in the same room with these amazing stars, and that Danny has seen it all pretty much in the 30 or 40 years that he has been acting.
Very grateful.
How does one prepare for these roles? Give me a typical day in the life of Danny Daugherty. Give me a typical day in the life of Danny Daugherty. How you get ready for roles? And how's it all come about?
I'll give you a great example. I have an audition to do that I'm preparing for now. I get the sides, they're called, you know, that's the pages that, you know, your character. And I just read the hell out of it, man. I just, you know, first I skim through it. I see what's going on. And I just see, like, what am I doing here? Like, you know, like if I went to go get a piece of pizza, I'm just getting a piece of pizza. Do I want to talk to you? Do I want to be nice? Am I in a bad mood? I just read, try to get a feel for what is going on in this scene. And then I read it again, and it just comes to you. Then I memorize the dialogue, obviously, and it just starts making more and more sense the more you read it and you break it down, and then you put it on tape, and hopefully they like your interpretation. Yeah. And you get it or you don't. You know, there's a million reasons why you get it or you don't, but as an actor, you really can't think about that. You just put your best foot forward, give it to them, and see what happens. And I've been very lucky that I booked a lot. That's all.
Well, I got to give you credit. I tell you, you've done a lot of film. I've done a few things. I've done a few movies. Pickens was one, which was on Amazon. I've done other things, like I did Nurse Jackie, a little thing there for in New York City. But the bottom line is, theater for me, theater is easier because when you do it, it's done. And I know with your with you, obviously, when you're doing lines on any of these shows, if you don't get it perfectly, there's a script person there who says, "Nope, got to do it again, got to do it again."
And it happens to be hours for you often
to actually film a 30-minute type of a section.
Well, you know, a TV is a fast creature. It's very fast paced, and you're in this little box. You have to. You have two cameras pointed at you. Where's the other actor? Where am I looking at? You know, and you have to stay in this little box and portray this person. And there's so many different little technical things. Where am I standing? Where am I looking? You know, and you know, as in theater, you just let it rip. You know what I mean? There is no box. You the whole stage is your box. You don't have to worry about anything. You could just do the character with no restrictions. As opposed to when you're on film, you're in this little box. So you have to portray this with that. And it's a different animal. It's just like auditioning. Auditioning is a different creature in itself too. It's a totally different thing. Auditioning and being on set are two different things. You have to have all, it's just like a carpenter. You have to have all these tools in your tool belt, and you got to know how to use them for that particular job. That's the best thing I could tell new actors too. You've done theater. So then you understand when you're on stage, the whole stage is your box. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, you have to hit your marks and stuff, but as opposed to being, it's more free is what I'm trying to say. You know,
I agree with you on that. Basically, there really isn't a box. Yes, you have the blocking, obviously, like you do in film. But the thing is, at least you have a little more freedom. And if you mess up, you find yourself back on script. Whereas I know for a fact that we did one scene in Pickens. And basically, it was a 30-second scene, and we had to get the lighting right. We had to get all everything in place. There's about 20 people in the room trying to do everything. And on top of that, it took us about 30 to 35 minutes to get a 30-second segment right. And I was sweating. I'll tell you right now, I was wearing a suit and everything, basically sitting down, and I started to sweat because we were doing it with the hot lights and everything. And it's difficult, Danny. And I know you do it every single day. You're on set at some place or another with different. That's the other question I wanted to ask you. All these different directors, all different. And you got to like, they got to like you. How do you go about that?
Well, you know, I've been blessed. I've worked with directors on multiple different shows. Like I worked with, one director on The Deuce, and then I worked with her again on The Plot Against America for HBO, and you know, when you walk on set, she's like, Danny, welcome back. You know, it's a great feeling to know that these people are entrusting you with this story, and they know you could bring something to the table that they need without any problems, and you'll bring it, you know. And the same thing with FBI. I worked FBI's Most Wanted, and then the following year, this same director, he was doing FBI, and I worked with him, and we were talking in between takes about life and everything. And just this couple of months ago, I did this new show for Amazon with Jessica Biel called The Better Sister. It will be out in 2025. I worked with that director previously on on Mike Tyson's bio series on Hulu. So, you know, it's as an actor, that's what you want. You want to make these connections and with these people that work in the same field as you. And if they keep bringing you back as an actor, that means you're trusted. They know you could do what they need. So as an actor, that's a great accomplishment. I'm very grateful for that, because it took a long time to, you know, in the war, so to say, to be trusted with these, you know, with these jobs by these big time directors. And I'm very grateful for it. It's a great film. And, you know, as opposed to theater and TV and film, I love them all. I love TV because it is such it's like a complex mathematical problem. There's so many different things going on, and it's such a challenge just as a human being. You know, you're an actor, but just as a human being, to have all these different tasks that you need to have, and you can't, you know, acting is pretending realistically, but in TV, you have all these other aspects to it that the audience will never know that's going on in your head that makes it look real. And it's such a challenge, and I love it. I love that challenge. You know what I mean? It's like figuring out a complex mathematical equation.
What if they change the script on you? I know a lot of times when you're doing daytime television.
Plenty of times. That happens quite often. That's another thing. Another thing you have to have in your toolbox. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, I'll audition, be a couple of pages, and they'll give you the part. And then, you know, a couple of days before you're going to film, that will go out the window, and it'll be the same character, but all the dialogue will change, or 50% of it, whatever it is. And you got to relearn it. Or sometimes even on the day of, they'll say, hey, you know, as an actor, you have to, you know, I think I should be doing this, you know, while I'm doing this. And the director will say, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's try that. Let's do that. Sometimes you'll add a word, and some shows are script perfect. You can't change anything. Some are more relaxed with that. You know, you could add a few things, you know, you ad lib, and, you know, that's the beauty of creating something and seeing what's coming out. And those are, again, that's all tools you have to have at the ready as an actor. You know what I mean? So it's a challenge, but I love it. I love everything about it.
Okay, so what you're telling me is, if they give you a script right before you're going to go on, and you've got maybe a couple minutes or, you know, to do that, you don't get nervous? You don't say, oh my goodness, because that would be hard for me to do. That's why I like theater. They don't change the script. Once you got it, it. But what's that like?
All I need is about 10 minutes, and I'll get it down to the best I can. And it's funny you brought that up, because I was watching a podcast about Jason Alexander, about a scene. Do you remember that scene in Seinfeld when they did the sea was angry today, my friend? That scene with the soup and Kramer hit the golf ball into the whale?
Yeah.
Jerry was saying that him and Larry wrote that the night before, and was like 3, 4, 5 pages, whatever it was. And that morning they gave it to Jason. They're like, Jason, we're going to shoot this in a half hour. He's like, no problem. And he just went out and he banged it out. But see, that's his tool set. That's years of honing that skill. Just like anything else, you just get better and better at it. So I love it. I love it.
Now, that's a gift. Now, how do you, so obviously memorization is very important, but also character memorization, knowing the character, what the character would do.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get any schooling for that? Have you gone to any acting classes for that?
Well, like I said, I took a couple of night classes, night schools, and I did a lot of amateur theater. I did a couple plays in the producers club. I did. I was in a community theater. I did a play in, and just all over, kind of learned that way. But for the most part, I kind of learned as I went, and I got better and better. And my favorite thing is John Voight asked me this same question on the set of Ray Donovan. He goes, "You're so good." He's like, "Where did you go to school?" I said, "John, I didn't go to school. I watched Columbo. That's how I learned." And he laughed because I love it. So, yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. So we are talking with actor Danny Dougherty, and he's been on so many different shows. It's incredible. We're glad to have him on. We'll be back with Live on Tape right after this.
Each year, 5,000 people, including children, choke to death. LifeVac can stop these senseless tragedies. It's so easy to use also. Simply place the mask over face, push, and pull. You'll never regret having a LifeVac in your home or office. Please visit LifeVac.net today to protect you and your loved ones. Or you can call them at 877-LIFEVAC. That's 877-LIFEVAC.
Women Heart is in a race to save lives. Heart disease is the number one killer of women. It's 80% preventable if you know the facts. Millions of women are living with or at risk of heart disease. Get educated. See your doctor. Know the facts. To win this race, we all have to do it together. Our hearts beat as one. To learn more, visit womenheart.org.
Diane from Michigan, a disabled senior citizen trying to get by. Henry from Florida, a veteran fighting to make ends meet. Elena from Arizona, a mother struggling to feed her daughter. Hi, I'm Connie Britton, and I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year, like Diane, Henry, and Elena. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
And welcome back, folks, to Live on Tape with WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio. Pete Tribuco here. I'm here with Tyler Conklin. We're having a great time on this Saturday afternoon. We got one hell of a guest on here today. We have got Danny Dougherty. You might remember him from, countless shows that you've seen on HBO, in movies, on television, and actually in theater in New York City. I believe believe it or not, he's actually been in the same theater that I have been in. You mentioned the Producers Club. So,
yes.
Danny, tell me about your Producers Club experience, because I've done a few shows there, too. That's really in on Times Square, on their Times Square, off-Broadway. So tell me about that.
Well, you know, it's anybody that's an actor in New York City knows about the Producers Club. It's like where everybody goes to workshop plays or amateur plays. It's really just a big actor's hangout, and everybody's been there. And I did a play there in, I believe, 2007 or 8. And it was great. It was a full house. It was in the vein of like Saturday Night Live. It was a comedy. There was many sketches. But the best part for me was afterwards, when we were all done, we went down to the bar, all the cast to, mingle and whatnot. The real Kramer was there, Kenny Kramer, the inspiration for Kramer, for Seinfeld. And he was doing a one-man show, and he was doing it in one of the other theaters. And I got to hang out with him and talk to him. So yeah, it's, you said you were at the Producers Club, so you know how it is. It's like an actor's place. Everybody knows about it, you know?
Yeah, it's great. It's actually fun to be in New York City and, in Times Square walk around with all the other actors in there. And if you're lucky, you can see something from tickets that comes up for the off-Broadway stuff. So for those of you just joining us, we are talking with actor Danny Dougherty. You might have seen him in a few shows like The Equalizer, the Marvelous Miss Maisel, which is one of my favorite, FBI. Yeah. You've got Crash at a System, Invasion, New Amsterdam. We've got FBI Most Wanted. The Plot Against America is a good one as well. Ray Donovan, which must have been amazing. The Deuce. I liked the Deuce. I was hoping they had more episodes on the Deuce. Blue Bloods, which is my wife's favorite, Backfire, was another one. The Defenders, Veep. And, of course, Orange is the New Black and Gotham. So, I mean, a few of the shows and productions that you have been on. Now, we talked about directors. And you're saying that if they like you, they call you back. What about – tell me about a time. And don't tell me the director. I don't want to know that. But tell me about a time where you just had these directors that they just didn't get it or they just didn't get you. And for whatever reason, it was a nightmare. Did that ever happen? Don't tell me who the director was, but did that ever happen to you?
Well, I got to be honest with you. That really never happened. I mean, I only remember one instance where I was doing a show. And like I said, before, you're doing these scenes, whatever, you kind of spitball different ideas. Maybe I should, pick up a glass, whatever the idea is, busy work or maybe I should say this, whatever. I kind of didn't ask him, and the scene was playing out, and I kind of added a little more than after I was supposed to be done. And the scene played out, but then he came up to me. He's like, yeah, that I didn't like that. Don't do that again. I was like, no problem, but it just, that happens too. That's no big deal. That's just part of the creative process. But and as a whole, I've had such wonderful experiences with all of them. And like I said, these people are so creative. They're the ones that create all these great shows that you watch and you get lost for an hour or whatever. And just to be in the room with them, being a part of this creative process, even if it does misstep a little, it's not like it's a fight or anything. It's just a little creative difference. Like, nah, I don't think that color looks good there. Maybe it would look good over there, So it's really not a big deal. It's more of a matter of just trying to get on the same page of what you're trying to convey in this scene. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? So
I'm sorry, what was that?
No, I said I have nothing but wonderful experiences.
Well, sounds good. So I had a question. Now, obviously, we're through the pandemic. Acting changed during the pandemic. I mean, you had to audition online. You weren't in person. Yeah. In fact, from what I understand, it's still the same way now. There's more video auditions or using your sizzle, as they say, or your film in order to do this. It really hasn't gotten back to the old days. Tell me, does that make it harder or easier to actually audition?
There's different schools of thought on this. Some, I've been auditioning since 2012, and I've met pretty much all of the casts. I'm sure I didn't meet them all, but I met the bulk of them for numerous different shows, and they know my personality, they know my work, and I've did, the in-person where you go to the casting director's office and you do your thing and you leave and you book it or you don't book it. Then the pandemic happened. Before that, I did a few self-tape auditions, they call them, but that was for something like that was in LA that I couldn't get out to. So the casting director would say, okay, just send a self-tape. It wasn't really it was maybe 1-2% of the business. Now it's 100% of the business. It totally changed during the pandemic. And like I said, there's different schools of thought. Me personally, I love it. I love self-tapes. It's such a different, you could really, there's no, like when you go to a casting director, but I've been to it so many times, there's a lot of different actors waiting. You only get 10 minutes or whatever it is to go in and do this thing. Sometimes you flub and you got to start over. With the self-tape, you're in total control of this situation. You are going to give them exactly what you feel perfectly this character is, with none of those other pressures are off you. So I love self-tape. Some actors, newer actors are a little bit of a disadvantage because they're not getting to go in to meet these casts. Hi, my name is whatever. And they get to see a little bit of your personality. They're missing out on that aspect of it, but it is what it is. It's not going to go back. This is the way the business has shifted. And me personally, I love it, and I'm totally happy with it. So I'm good with it.
Well, the thing is, you can also put several reels and self-tapes together instead of just going to New York or L.A. or wherever you're going, mm-hmm. Philadelphia, or wherever, you know, basically we're doing this. And just you're spending hours there before they see you. Now you can throw out self-tapes here,
yeah.
And all at the same time. So you're actually saving some time. But you do lose the personal aspect. You do lose that personal aspect when you're not there in person to see the casting people.
Yeah, well, that's like I said, like for an actor, and I got a good buddy. My friend James O'Connor, who was also on Gotham. I also did a Ford commercial with him. He's done multiple different, you know, episodes, big guest stars, whatnot. And he teaches acting because he's on the same page as me. He loves self-tapes, but again, he's on the same page also with the newer actors that are just coming in and are not getting to meet the casting stars. I met them all. I've worked for them. They've hired me for jobs. They know me. So I you know, when I go in, it's like meeting an old friend. I know this person. So I have that advantage. So I love the self-tape just where I could just go. I could just do the count. I also have a self-tape guy that I use down in Manhattan, Skytown Entertainment, great self-tape place. I use him, and he used to be an actor, so he's a good director. I call him the Scorsese of self-tapes. So I could really go down there and really – I could really work out, and I book tons of work going there. And I do self-tapes from home too, but I just love that I could give them what I feel is the best interpretation of this character without any, you know, I don't have to worry about, I only got 10 minutes, you know, there's 20 people waiting. If I flub, I got to start over. If I flub, I just turn the camera off and do it over and it's over. But like I said, for the newer actors, they're losing that a little bit of advantage going, hi, my name is so-and-so. And it catches us. Oh, he's very personable. Or he's very funny. He is funny. Like if it's a comedy, I could see the comedy timing in him. I think, you know, they kind of lose that. But like I said, it is what it is. It's not going back. So we just got to, you know, ride this horse into the sunset. There's no going back.
Well, that sounds like a definite plan. So now we got a couple of minutes before the break. What's coming up? What's coming up for Danny Dougherty?
I have tons of things. I wanted to tell you about a film that I did. It's called 60 Miles North. It's on Amazon right now. Fandango. It's doing terrific, getting great reviews. It was at the Woodstock Film Festival, which is a big film festival in 2022. It won the Audience Choice Awards. It was advocated for by Deborah Granik, who is she was the director of Winter's Bone with Jennifer Lawrence, Academy Award nominee. Uh-huh. She was there at the screening. She was up at the Q&A. She was a very very big advocate for the film. She really enjoyed it, and it did very well at the Woodstock Film. It's on Amazon. And the story behind it is my friend Eddie Crawford, he was the star and he was the writer. He was the original host of The Cash Cab. Do you remember that show on Discovery Channel?
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah.
He was the original host. He was fired. And I think he filmed a few episodes. I could be wrong about this, but he was definitely hired. And, you know, he got the money, everything, and they fired him because he didn't tell them that he had a DWAI on his record. Obviously, it's a driving show. Huh. So they fired him from, and then it went to Ben. I forgot his last name. The guy that you see now. I know his first name is Ben. I apologize. I forgot his last name. Great comedian. Did a great job on the show. So he kind of went into a downward spiral. He did theater, a couple of little things on TV, but so he wrote this film called 60 Miles North, 60, the numeral 60 Miles North, about his journey. And it's based off of this story, the cash can, him getting the job, getting fired. I star in it too. I play his roommate. We're both struggling actors. There's a great scene in Times Square where our day job is we dress up, you know, how they put Spider-Man and all these costumes on to make money. That's our job, how we make money during the day while we're in audition. Great film. I hope everybody sees it. Everybody that watches it loves it. If you haven't seen it yet, it's on Amazon and Fandango now. Very proud about that. I just did a film down in Philadelphia with Black De Niro. He's the director, the actor, and the writer. My last film that he did the triple play on, the writing, directing, starring, was called Backfire. Uh-huh. I did that with Tony Devon. That was on Netflix. I did another film with him, so it's going to be my third film. I just finished wrapping that up. It's called Access. It will be out in, I believe, 2025. I just filmed that down in Philadelphia. I had a nice role. I was only there for a day, but very great role. I got another film with this guy, Gil O'Brien, called All In. It's a casino robbery. I did The Better Sister with Jessica Biel on Amazon. I did for Hulu and Disney with Goosebumps. That will be out in 2025. Okay. And I just did, which will be on in December, Elsbeth on CBS.
Elsbeth, you're going to be on that. Cool. Wow, that's fantastic. So you've been a pretty busy person over the last three or four months. That's great. So anything else planned? I mean, you've got a lot. Tell me about the Amazon again, the one with 60. Because that one, I don't know if everybody heard exactly. That was Amazon, right? It's on currently right now?
Yeah, it's on
right
Amazon. It's on right now. It's called 60 Miles North, the numeral 60. 60 Miles North on Amazon. It's on Fandango, too, which is Vudu. You could rent it or buy it. That's on Amazon. Like I said, it's the story of the guy who was the original cash cab guy, and he lost it. And you know, I play his best friend Craig. We're two struggling actors. It's great. I don't want to give too much away of the plot, but it's a fantastic story, and it's getting and we didn't have the machine in back of it. This is just from Deborah Granick. She's a huge director. She was an advocate for it, which is totally grateful for that. But as far as the Hollywood machine, we didn't really have that in back. This is just word of mouth. And if you go to IMDb, you see the genuine user comments about reading the film. They all love it. Like they're saying, this is what filmmaking should be. Let's get back to this heartwarming story.
Good.
So give it a watch. I hope you'll
definitely do that. In fact, we'll be back with actor Danny Dougherty right after these messages.
Each year, 5,000 people, including children, choke to death. LifeVac can stop these senseless tragedies. And it's so easy to use as well. Simply place the mask over the face and push and pull. You'll never regret having a LifeVac in your home or office. Please visit their website at www.lifevac.net today to protect you and your loved ones. Or you can call them at 877 LIFEVAC. That's 877 LIFEVAC.
Hi, I'm Marcus Scribner. The way we treat animals affects all of us. Cruel treatment of animals led to the pandemic crisis, killing a million people. And environmental destruction, pollution, and poaching have made our world a poorer place. To fight back, American Humane created a 10-point plan to do better by our animal friends. Visit AmericanHumane.org today and sign our New Deal for Animals to make a kinder and healthier world for all of us.
Though Fi can't drive, he still flies down the track. Staying fit helps him fight retinitis pigmentosa, a blinding retinal disease, but he's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding retinal diseases, providing hope to people with vision loss. And for Fi, winning the fight means seeing new ways to push himself. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.
And welcome back to Live on Tape. Pete Tribuco here with Tyler Conklin, and we're just so happy to have actor, and he's an incredible actor. I've known him for years. Danny Dougherty. He's done so many different productions. Got several right now on Amazon, mm-hmm. which I want to talk about again, just so everyone gets to see what Danny can do when he's on stage or when he's in, doing films. Of course, the marvelous Miss Maisel, Dope Girls, FBI, Black Caesar, Mike, Fresh at the System, Invasion, New Amsterdam, The Equalizer, FBI Most Wanted, The Plot Against America, which is a good one, Ray Donovan, The Deuce, and I could just keep going. Blue Bloods. We're all watching Blue Bloods, especially this last season. So Backfire, Difficult People, The Defenders, Veep. I could just keep going. Oh, yeah, Orange is the New Black, Law and Order, Special Victims Unit. So many things. But then we were talking about the ones that are going on right now. How many people can actually boast? How many actors? And I don't think I had that many on this show that could say, right now, Pete, I've got 4 or 5 productions going all at once. Now, we talked about the first one. And also, you're going to be with Jessica Biel. Tell us about that one as well.
I did that in the beginning of the year. It's that show will probably be on 2025. It's called The Better Sister. Very grateful for that. Had a scene with her. Wonderful. Then I went on to do Goosebumps. It was originally a movie. I think Jack Black starred in it, but then it went to Hulu.
Disney. That's Disney.
It's for Disney, and they went on to do a series. This is season 2. The new season. I'll be on that. I believe that's also 2025. That will be on Hulu. I did Elsbeth 2 months ago. That will be out in December. It's season 2, episode 7. I'll be on that. And like I said, and right now I have that movie, which I really hope everybody checks out. It's called 60 Miles North, 60, the numeral 60. It's on Amazon and Fandango at Home, which is Vudu. You can rent it or buy it. I just did that movie Access down in Philadelphia. That will be out next year too. I've been plugging along, and I got an audition now. When I hang up with you, I'm gonna get back into it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, man. You're just a busy individual there, I'll tell you. Now, what are your websites? Where can they find you? I know you're on IMDb. Now be Danny Doherty.
Yeah, just IMDb. I had a website a couple of years ago. I kind of got so busy I couldn't keep up with it, so it just kind of died. So I'm just on IMDb. But all my information is in all my films and everything, and then, check it out. Leave some good comments. I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Well, we got about 2 minutes left. So tell all these aspiring actors and actresses that want to get into the business, what do you need to do in order to be as successful as you, Danny?
All right. Well, I'll just tell you the three basics. Number one is you need to get your SAG card. That's number one, because if you want to do anything professional, you have to be union. How you go about doing that, there's different ways. The way I did it was I was an extra. I was an extra for like about a year. You have to get waivers. This was 10, 12 years ago. The rules may have changed. I don't know. But you definitely, however you need to get your SAG card, that's first on the list. Then you have to get yourself good headshots. You know, it doesn't have to. When I first started taking headshots, they were very expensive. They're not anymore. $100, maybe 200 tops. Good headshots, and then you need to clip yourself together a nice reel to show your work. And again, it's easier today because a lot of these places now that do reels, they have studios where they'll set up doing like a little scene. When I started, the catch 22 was, I need real footage, but how do I get real footage if I'm not on TV? You know what I mean? So it was hard.
Yeah.
So you have to put yourself together a nice little reel, 2-3 minute reel, comedy, drama, whatever your strong suit is, or both, whatever. And then you need to get yourself an agent to start, putting you out there and getting you some auditions. And that's basically, and the biggest thing is, which every big actor I've ever worked with told me is persistence. You're going to hear 1,000 no's before you hear 1 yes. It's just like getting hit, like baseball. You get hit with the ball, you dust yourself off, you get right back in the batter's box, and you take another swing until you get a single, a double, maybe a home run. You just keep going. Persistence is crucial. And that's basically it.
Yeah, and don't give up. You know, basically a lot of times people will do this and they'll say, I don't think I got it, or I'm not getting it, or whatever. And you're right. It's acting is kind of like sales. And anybody who's ever been in sales knows that a no is not a no. It's maybe, or it's maybe down the road a little bit. So you always got to be able to just hang in there with it. Know that you have to have a thick skin, And know that if you believe in yourself and other people believe in you, you will eventually make that decision to do the right thing. So, Danny, listen, I want to thank you so much. I know you're so busy and everything, and I do appreciate you being able to be on the show.
I appreciate everybody, thank you.
You're welcome. On behalf of everybody, including Tyler and myself, and live on tape, thank you so much for tuning in. And we'll talk about other things, and live on tape, of course, my Thanksgiving show will be next week. So everybody have a great Saturday afternoon, and we'll talk to you again real soon.